A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
Z-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
That is how I found out where babies come from. So, hi, welcome everybody to Lobotomized. Sorry about that. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
All right. And today we got kind of a interesting thing, a little bit different than what we did last time, but we are going to be talking about serial killer Herb Baumeister.
Ugh.
So yeah, he's a turd.
Herbert the pervert.
Herbert the pervert. But yeah, I don't even know if that was his actual nickname. Honestly, I think that was just some dickhead on a YouTube video who just like made a graphic. It was like, ah, hey, it rhymes. Yeah, he's like, it rhymes, so I'm gonna fucking use it. So, I mean, it's
the Baumeister.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking Lil Herb. But
is that his rap name?
That's what I was kind of put it. That's like in my notes. I was like, Lil Herb.
I wrote that too.
Or is his name Herb? Like an herb.
I don't know. He looks like too much of a fucking nerd. Like he looks
Herb.
Like too much of a bitch. Like, of course, he maybe did some blow, but I mean, that's what white people that look like that, like that's definitely their drug. Like,
he's
a herb.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not like cool. He's not like a cool kind of like drug doer guy. He's like I'm going to do this and then murder somebody kind of drug doing guy, which is bad. That's the bad
kind.
That's
the bad kind, you know? So, but, yeah, I mean, I guess we could just get right into this pretty much. So, all right. So Herb Baumeister. So now Herb Baumeister was born to a three-legged bitch of a mother. And that was something that he felt guilty about forever.
Sorry, that was half-baked. I just started kind of doing a thing. I just kind of wanted to do a thing, honestly.
So, three legs? I'm like, wait, I must have missed that.
No, I'm just fucking around.
What did I miss?
But yes, Herb Baumeister was born April 7th, 1947, in the Butler-Tarkington area of Indiana, to his parents, Dr. Herbert Sr., I guess, and Elizabeth. His dad was an anesthesiologist, successful, and so, you know, eventually they ended up moving to, I guess, the more bougie or more, you know, expensive, basically Washington Township, I guess, is the rich area. So, you know, moving on up, like the Jeffersons, they finally got a piece of the pie, I guess. So
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was making like, what, I think I read like $400,000, you know, back in the 50s, 60s.
Whoa!
I
mean,
that's ridiculous.
Back then? Holy moly.
He was an anesthesiologist, so I mean, like, I know that's a pretty
current pay.
Well, that makes more sense at the current pay, but you know what? I don't know.
If he was like the only one in that area and he was going around and doing
like a rural
whenever,
area or something.
Like, yeah. Like whenever they needed it, like it's possible
like
that. Yeah.
I mean,
still like in the 40s though. I wonder if that's who knows. Either way, he's rich.
Yeah,
either way.
Exactly.
Rich doctor.
I mean, in the 40s though, like really like how, like what did that consist of? Like he just came in and bashed in the head with a hammer and I was like, all right, open him up. Like, is that how?
Pint of gin.
Yeah, exactly. Drink this till you shut up. So.
He's numb. He's definitely numb right now.
He's blackout numb.
I had a feeling like something was going on. I was only browned out. So. I didn't think I needed like four more shots. I would have got there, but. Oh, man. But yeah, so Herb, I mean, basically from everything that I saw, I don't know if you guys got anything different, but it seemed like he had a pretty normal childhood, like for the most part.
I don't know. Didn't he piss on his teacher's desk?
He did.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. When I say,
are you talking about his actual childhood, like his parents and stuff, or like how he was personally?
No, I'm just saying, like, his upbringing, like, wasn't any, like, oh, like one day his dad, like, but fucked him in the closet or something like that, you know? Like, no, it wasn't like anything like that, you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't even think I remember hearing about him having any, like, head trauma.
That's exactly what I was going to get into, because I looked for that, because I was looking for, like, head trauma or something like that, or any of the other, basically, I think it's the triad or whatever they say of, like, serial killer childish behaviors. Like, he wasn't a bedwetter. Like, he didn't set things on fire, and as far as I know, he didn't torture animals. He collected them once they were already dead, but he didn't actually torture them. So that's another thing we'll get to, you know, allegedly later on. So we're going to be saying allegedly a lot during this episode, honestly, because unfortunately he was never brought to trial and found guilty. So just for the sake of legal.
He did it.
Okay. Allegedly. He allegedly did all these things that we're going to get into. So. But I guess once he hit puberty, that's when he changed, which, I mean, I guess happens with everybody, but he changed more.
He got really into piss.
He got really into piss. He did, dude. He got really into piss. If he was still alive, he would have loved that album from Tim Heidecker.
Yes, like,
he
would have been Yellow River
about
Boys.
The Yellow River Boys. Like, he would have been so about that. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I haven't listened to that shit in forever. Well, sorry, I haven't listened to that piss in forever. And I got to hit that up. Did I ever make you listen to that?
I don't think so, because okay, I don't recall really what you're talking about.
Okay, do you know, sidebar, but do you know Tim and Eric?
Yes.
Okay, well, Tim is actually like a really amazing musician and singer.
Oh, okay.
And basically, as a joke, he came up with a band called the Yellow River Boys and literally made a whole album where it's nothing but songs about piss and drinking piss and like just every all song. That shit. But
what?
It's musically, it's amazing.
Good. It's like a classic rock style. It's
It's like there's like harmonies and shit with it. Like it's just so well done. But all the songs are about either getting pissed on or like going to piss clubs. And
drinking
piss, basically.
Piss clubs? Yeah.
So Herbert the Pervert would have loved this album.
Yes, he would have loved this album. Actually, fun fact, in Kyle and I's old band, we actually covered a couple of Yellow River Boys songs.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did.
Oh my God, it is so funny. Out.
Like, it was fantastic. But all right, so yes, like we were saying, during puberty, that's kind of when things change for Herb, as they do with everybody else. But, he did have one friend in his life. I don't know if you guys read into Bill Donovan at all.
I remember
his, like, one friend
talking
that
about
they
his
mentioned.
One friend.
Okay. But yeah, basically.
He's the one that said that Herb was obsessed with piss.
Yeah, exactly. He was. But I mean, like, his actions later on, like, support that as well. Like, I believe Bill Donovan because of what allegedly he did later. So,
right. Yeah.
I mean, how did his friend how do you as a friend to somebody and this person is just, you know, loves piss? Like, how do you even?
It's weird. It's kind of weird. Apparently, one of the things he would do is he would run it like once he got really going, because apparently one time he was just musing, I guess. And he was just like, I wonder what piss tastes like. Yeah. And then started chasing, like, the other kids around and telling them to, like, give him a drink or whatever the fuck, like, he was doing. Like, but it was something along those lines, like, oh, let me take a sip, dude, and, like, run around like that. I don't think I'm going to hang out with that dude anymore, honestly.
Did he, like, aim it up and, like, try to piss in his own mouth?
Like a sprinkler?
I am, like, so sure he tried that at some point.
He had to
have.
Does it go that far? Is it that
He could.
I mean, is it that powerful?
I've never tried, but
yeah, I've never tried to do that either because, like, I don't care what it tastes like. I'm not interested.
At the very least, you could lay down. I'm sure it's easier. Yeah, trajectory wouldn't have to fight against this much gravity. I mean,
if you're gonna use, you got to use gravity to your advantage. You know, like, just lay on your back and, like, I mean, you probably should drink about like 10 beers first and hold it the whole time, and then just lay on your back and just kind of let it fly.
Almost blackout numb.
Yes. Yes. You need to be so drunk you're just about ready for surgery. So, yeah. But, but yeah. So yeah, he was he was just a little piss boy running around, I guess. And I guess the one day they were walking to school and they found a crow in the middle of the road. Did you guys hear about this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he collected animals, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I turned into, like, Jay Leno there for a second. I was like, hey, you see this? You heard about this? Like, whatever the fuck. But, that's the thing. So, I guess they came across this crow that was, like, rotting in the middle of the road.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And, of course, he came over, like, he was gonna pee on it first, but then, you know, he's like, hold on a minute, I want to check this out, actually. So... I just made that up. I don't think he was going to pee on it.
Oh, my God. I would have died.
I love how you guys are just looking at me stone-faced like, yeah, that sounds legit. Like,
that sounds legit from everything else he's done.
Shit. Sounds like Lil Herb.
Some pissed on it.
Yeah. God, this guy's such a dipshit, dude. Dude, fuck this guy so much. Fuck this guy in the face, allegedly. So, But no, so he picks up the crow, all right, and basically, like, I guess, like, apparently his Bill said that he told him he could feel the maggots moving underneath it, and he ended up kind of, I guess he broke it in half like a Kit Kat bar, kind of, like, just kind of did one of those really quick, you know, and it just snapped, and basically... He could see all the maggots and everything, so he did what any normal kid would do, and he threw it in his backpack and took it to school, and then he left it in the teacher's desk.
That's right. Yes. That's the part of the story I remember.
Yeah.
He's a real good kid.
Yeah, I know,
class
right?
Act.
Oh, he's a, right. Yeah.
And then did he piss on it? Like, seriously, like, or did he separately, like, piss on the desk?
I think pissing on the desk was another isolated incident. Like, I don't think the crow and the piss were together.
Okay,
He was, how's, like, he still in school at
mad.
This point? Like,
it was the 1950s, 60s. They just kind of brushed that under the rug. It's like, hey, he's excitable.
It's a phase. So, it's a phase.
He didn't get kicked out of school for pissing on the desk, did he?
No.
Yeah.
No, of course not.
He ended up going to college.
Because his dad was, like, the... traveling fucking anesthesiologist. They needed him, like, like, they weren't gonna do anything to Lil Herb. Like, fuck that. But so basically, after all, I mean, okay, I know we're kind of fucking with Herb's dad, you know, a little bit, but to his credit, apparently after the crow thing and the piss thing, well, like the first piss thing, like, well, like, I guess all the piss things. I don't know how much he knew about, like, if he knew, like, he was chasing his buddies around, but, like, or he just found out when he pissed on the teacher's desk. But, and now, after all this, he did send him to get evaluated by a medical professional. And I guess the diagnosis was schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at the same time, you get this, like... This is the 50s. Like, they're just kind of throwing
that. They use that one a lot.
They're just kind of throwing that on there. But so they diagnosed him as schizophrenic, but then didn't really do anything after that.
Wasn't there, like, a split personality? They did something with his personality, too. I don't think they said split personality, but there was, like, a, I don't know if it was, like, a borderline personality disorder. Like, they said something else. They did two diagnoses on him.
Yes, because he actually went for a psychological evaluation later on.
I'm not sure what they were talking about.
After he got married to Julie is when he went for his second one. Because, we'll get to that, but they were having some issues. And basically, she actually ended up going to his father and being like, hey, what the fuck? What's going on with your kid? And... set him off again, but we will get to that point.
So, you know, Herb, I mean, just running around being a piss boy, like, that's not a good way to make friends. So he really didn't have any. I mean, I'm sure Bill Donovan stopped hanging out with him after a while, too. So, and I guess the high school, it was North Central High School in Indiana. I guess they were more of a sports oriented school. So, I mean, Herb, I mean, you saw him, like, he's a little bitch. So obviously he's not playing for the football team, you know, mm-hmm. So he wasn't able to make friends that way either. And just could never really fit in.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There are lots of different ways to make friends. But I don't think being obsessed with piss is going to help you make friends. You don't have to be in sports to have friends. You could just be nice, maybe. Or, yeah, like, funny or caring. But you're just, he's doing it wrong.
Walking around with dead animals in your bag and pissing on everything.
Yeah.
Not doing you any favors.
Yeah, those methods are probably not even in the top 10. If I had to guess. But
like, just because you're not in sports, man, it's not in the, I wasn't in sports, I didn't have friends. No, there's, oh, it goes beyond.
I'm sure. Like, did play fucking Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. That might not have been out yet, but like, I'm sure not every kid, like,
Play freaking, I don't know, tag.
What was around in the 50s? Like, yeah, they have a did they have like a ball that they like threw back and forth to each other or something,
that
like
with a stick?
Baseball was around in the, or no, well, that's a, well, that's sports.
Well, that was, yeah, it's sports,
non-sports.
I'm sure they had ball in a cup, you know, where like they got a little string and the ball and then the cup, and then you flip it and you catch it in the cup and then you win.
Books? I don't know.
Yeah, you could
join
read.
A book club.
That's what he was. He was pretty much a bookworm. So.
Was he newspaper?
Yeah. But I mean, he couldn't find fellow bookworms, I guess, because evidently, you know.
Well, what kind of books was he reading? Were they about piss?
What does piss taste like, basically?
Dad's urology books?
Yeah, I know, right? He was reading Everybody Pisses, so. But it's the sequel to Everybody Poops, so.
I like where this podcast is going.
I know, this is a good one. This is a good one so far. I was worried there wasn't going to be enough jokes, you know, with all the murder and, like, you know, all that, but we haven't gotten to that yet, so. All right, so let's go into Lil Herb, the college years. Get into there.
His first album.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sober, lamest dude in the middle of the 60s.
I know, like, right? Like, dude, he's in, like, the summer of, like, well, not really the summer of love, but, like, he's in the 60s, and, like, he's in the prime of his life.
The best time,
like,
ever to be doing drugs.
Yes.
And you just go out for a Coke with your girlfriend.
That
you don't even fuck
that he baby. You asked her if chick piss tasted different. Like, it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah.
Well, Herb, that depends on the amount of asparagus. But
right.
Oh my god.
Sorry, I did not plan that. They just kind of made it past the filter. So. But yeah, so Lil Herb, basically, he kind of floated in and out of Indiana University, but he never ended up graduating. He dropped out his freshman year, and then the following year went back, but like I said, he never really graduated. He did take a human anatomy class, though, which apparently he did very well in.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
He was like the black sheep of, he had other siblings, right?
Who were
normal, well adjusted. He was kind of like the black sheep, right?
I mean, kind of, yeah. Like, as far as I know, his brothers and sisters not into piss and just kind of normal, actually. So, yeah, just kind of, you know, just hanging out doing stuff. But
he did end up getting a DUI. Was that in his college years or? Was that after?
Did he? I don't know. I didn't see that.
He got a DUI and then his dad, like, bailed him out and, like, everything was fine because his dad was like rich.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that sounds about right. I don't remember that from my research, but I could totally see that being plausible because I'm pretty sure his next two jobs he got because of his dad.
Yeah. Like, so he didn't even complete college. So shit.
Yeah, exactly. But so because of his dad, like I said, allegedly, but what I believe, the reason being, he got hired at the Indianapolis Star, which is basically just a newspaper job, to work in the copy department. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing he just like prints out the papers.
That's reasonable.
Like, I feel like, like, yeah, his dad got him a job, but I feel like that one was pretty idiot proof. You know, it's like he's literally just making copies. Like, right. You're probably hitting like the same button like a bunch of times. Like, you just boom, boom, boom. Or I don't know how the copiers
work. Or did they like stamp them back in the day?
I don't know. Like, did they? Like, did they have like the presses and shit?
I don't know.
Like,
I'm making stuff up as I go.
I have no idea. I want to think so, but I feel like that would be too. I don't want to give Herb that much credit, honestly. I just remember, like, yeah, he hit a button because he's fucking stupid. Piece of shit. Allegedly. So, but yeah, so he got him that job. Still trying to fit in with people and failing miserably. did you guys read about the university football game story?
Go on.
Okay. Okay. Basically, I guess one time, he ended up tricking a group of people into being his friends by offering to give them a ride to, I guess it was an away game.
I do remember this.
Yes. I guess it was like an away game or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like at the university. What the fuck did
university?
I just say? The university, you know, where they fucking learn things and how to speak good. So that was his trick. He's like, oh, I'll give you guys a ride, like, and then we'll be friends forever. And then I'll choke you and drink your pee and it'll be awesome. Like, but I guess what he did was, and I don't even know how he got his hands on this. Like, I'm guessing through his dad. But apparently what he did is he picked everybody up in a hearse.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he was wearing a little like, driver's cap. Little cute little thing, and just drove him to the game and just laughing like a fucking jackass the whole time about how fucking hilarious he was being, like driving them in a hearse.
Yeah,
and
where
shit.
The hell do you just get a hearse for a night?
I'm gonna tell you
right now, an anesthesiologist doesn't have a hearse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he borrowed it from his fucking dad, so I don't think Big Herb, you know, fucking had it laying around as like his work car or whatever
his
the
work
fuck.
Car.
Right.
Unless that's what he was, as a traveling anesthesiologist. They just gave him a hearse as like a work vehicle, maybe.
Mm, well, I doubt it, but you never know.
You can store a lot of booze in the back of a hearse.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm sorry, medicine.
So, regulation bar.
You guys didn't see the finger quotes, but there you go.
Yeah, so funny.
I know.
But can you imagine just like nowadays, like somebody, I'm going to pick you up, and somebody picks you up in a hearse, just...
Because there's no seats or anything in the back, right?
What, is there like a gurney?
see me, I'd be like, that's pretty fucking sweet. But then I'd be like, okay, dude, what's with the hat? That's fucking stupid. Like, take that
Oh,
stupid.
That's the thing that got you,
yeah,
is the
hat.
Yeah,
hat. Yeah, I'd be like, dude, take that off, Jeeves. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, we're supposed to be hanging out and stuff. Like, I don't know. I feel like I would try to give him the benefit of the doubt. But eventually, like, you know, I would just turn to piss. And then, like, that would be the end of that.
Yeah.
You can't ask to drink from me like the first night I meet you. Like, that's weird. Like, I have to know you for at least a couple weeks.
Right. I could just see him like hitting a flask like while driving, and somebody being like, "Hey, man, you shouldn't drink and drive." And he'd be like, "Don't worry, it's just piss."
But then everybody would just laugh as a joke.
Yeah,
like, I know, right?
Oh yeah, guys, it's piss.
He's doing the thing where the truth is so ridiculous nobody would believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's just piss. It's fine, guys.
If he probably said at that time, I'm a serial killer, people would be like, ah, you're funny.
Exactly.
You're a little weird, but you're cool. You're a cool guy.
I mean, look, guys, we needed a fucking ride. Like, just let's get this over.
Don't drink his piss and like, we'll get to ditch the game.
Him ditch him. We'll ditch him at the game and fucking just get back with somebody else.
This will be a really funny story in a few years, guys.
Exactly.
Breath smells like piss.
God damn it. God damn, Herb. The fuck? All right. So job number two. This is another one. They put a more of an emphasis on his dad getting him this job at the DMV. Now, I don't know the last time you guys went to the DMV, but yeah, it sucks. It's terrible.
DMV sucks.
Yeah. I have to go in like a couple weeks, and I am just...
Oh, that is fucking terrible.
I'd like to do anything. I would do any, literally anything else.
It sucks.
Than
apparently, he just started ranting at people. Like, I don't know. I have no idea, like, about, like, whether it was, like, customers or, like, employees. It's probably both.
Who, Herbie did?
Yeah, Herb. He just started, like, ranting, like, just going off and started fucking ranting at people. And, I mean...
EMP drove him insane.
Yeah, basically. And also, there was the one Christmas, he did a really funny thing where he took a picture. I mean, this guy's, like, you know... We'll get back to it, but I mean, this guy is—he's married and stuff like that. But he took a picture of him and another guy in drag, and made that his Christmas card for the office, and sent that out to everybody that you work with at the DMV.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, he's not gay. He's not gay at all.
Definitely not.
Obviously not. But. And this is probably the most unbelievable thing about the... Well, you know what? Actually, man, I take that back. Having recently been to the DMV, this is not actually surprising at all. After all this, just him random outbursts and all of his other stupid bullshit, they promoted him. They promoted him.
To the manager of the BMV?
Yeah, they gave him like a middle management position. Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, they gave him like a middle management fucking position. With all of his stupid bullshit.
Hey, this guy's got character.
Yeah.
But apparently he, Herb back to his old fucking tricks. Apparently he didn't get along with his boss very well and ended up peeing on his desk several times.
Yeah.
And was not fired.
You know why? Because it's a freaking... government.
Because it's a fucking DMV. That's why. And the DMV sucks.
I mean, what else do you have to do to get fired, man?
I have no idea. Oh, well, I actually do have the answer to that.
Drop your pants on the counter and helicopter piss all over the customers?
I guess. But apparently what you do have to do to get fired finally in that situation is to piss on a letter that was going to be mailed to the governor.
That's right.
That was the final straw with that boss, I guess. Like, he was fine. Like, okay, yeah, you can piss on my, you know, yeah, just go ahead.
That letter was for the governor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, go ahead, piss on the picture of my family. Like, that's fine, whatever. Like, I don't care. Oh, yeah, my paperwork. Yeah, just piss all over that. You did what? You pissed on what? You're fired. Fuck you. He's like one of those assholes that like has like a huge frame picture of the president like in his bedroom and he like salutes it every night. Like he's like one of those dumbasses. Oh my God.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so that's what finally got him fired from the even his famous anesthesiologist dad couldn't fucking save him from that. So now. Like
history of pissing on desks.
Yes.
He has a pistory.
Yeah.
History.
So we'll actually get into this really quick because, this actually happened. Somebody actually married this asshole. Like, as surprising as that is, somebody actually fucking married this dipshit.
But like, on purpose?
As far as I know, yeah. Yeah, so in November of 1971, he married this girl named Julie. And they met in college. And they were both fucking Republicans. And yeah, she fucking married him because it's always the Republicans that do all this dumb shit. It's always them. It's always like the super religious, like ones are like off, like blowing dudes off to the side. It's always them.
pissing on people.
Yeah, just pissing all over everything like a goddamn cat. Like, Herb, you're not a cat. Stop marking your territory, like, on everything. Like, I'm sorry, the...
Is he like what, dragging his leg and pushing the sand to the side after he pees? Just kind of.
Actually, we were actually talking about this off mic earlier, but he actually had three children with Julie. Now, the thing is, during the entire 25 years of their marriage, apparently him and Julie only had sex 6 times.
And three kids out of that.
That's a 50% failure rate. Yeah. Like, that is so fucking bad. I mean, honestly, I mean, we were making fun of this earlier, which, because it's weird, like, you should definitely be fucking more than 6 times and after 25 years together. But I mean, honestly, if I had sex 6 times and had 3 kids out of it, I wouldn't want to do it again for another 25 years either. Okay? Like, that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to defend Lil Herb here, but I mean, I understand.
Well, and she had never seen him naked. Is that right?
He was a never nude.
Never nude, yes. Amanda, could you explain to people like me who don't really understand what a never nude is?
Well, I think it's pretty easy. You're just never nude.
You're never nude? Okay.
Like, you even wear a bathing suit in the shower.
Okay. Oh, you're one of those. Okay. All right, I got you. I remember a couple of kids like that in high school. They're like, yeah, like when you'd go into the showers, they like keep wearing their britches, and it's like, all right, I mean, I don't know, it's not like hey, let me shoot it. You're like, I'm not saying like that, you know. What I mean, but at the same time, it's just like, that's not how the thing works, and like, you're not really cleaning anything, so it's, you're doing it wrong is all I'm saying. You're just doing it wrong. So, but okay, I get what you mean though. So do you think, but okay, so like, when during the 6 occasions, like, fly hole?
You think that's what he was doing? I guess so, yeah.
Or just like
in the dark,
all blankets in the dark. Like, I don't know.
Or that, like, Amish. What is that? Or thing like, where he just cut the hole like in the sheet.
Yeah, there we go. Or like maybe he wasn't even doing anything because, like I said, he was gay allegedly, and he just kind of like went down there with a pickle and like started, like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they'd be a little cold. I don't know. Which you, I think I would notice that.
His own ass.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's definitely not going to be cold back. It's like, ah, God, the wife wants to have sex tonight. All right, I got to warm with the old ass pickle. So are we talking dill or like bread and butter? Or like, what do you think he's using with that?
Gherkins.
Yeah.
A gherkin.
He's been in there so long, it started as a cucumber.
You actually pickled it in my own ass.
I hate you guys. I hate you.
Oh, fuck that. That's staying in. That's totally fucking staying in.
Oh, God. What are we even talking about?
No idea. I fucking lost my place.
I lost it.
Okay. Oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, his wife and him.
Yeah, his wife. Okay. So, yeah. So, we'll get back to his stupid wife later. But after... after the paper and the DMV, Herb eventually went to go work at a thrift shop. And basically he just kind of decided to open up his own. So, I mean, he pretty much like looked at the way, I guess, it was ran and decided that he could do it better, which I'm sure we've all worked with those fucking people before. Yeah. Those ones that just come in and be like, well, if I fucking ran it, like, blah, blah. Those people are fucking insufferable. If you do that, don't do that. It's fucking annoying. Even if it is an incompetent place, just fucking leave. Like, nobody wants to hear it because that just makes it worse. But yeah. Whatever. Sorry, that was a side tangent thing. But anyway, so like I said, they decided to open their own. And, you know, like, just got to, You know, just like Jeff Bezos, like they got a loan from their parents to open up their fucking little thrift shop and everything. I guess they borrowed $4,000 for it.
So, yeah, that's not a lot of money to start a whole freaking business like that.
Not really, but I mean, they did open, it was 1988 when they opened it. So, I mean, $4,000 in 1988, I don't have the figure, but like, it's probably close. Like, if I was going to guess, like maybe that's around like 20 grand, maybe.
That's what I
15,
would.
15,
I think 20. 15, I think that 20 would be a good
grand,
guess.
Something like that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I guess. I was thinking maybe like 15, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, like I said, like 15.
Held a lot more
15,
than
20,
just 4 grand now.
Something like that. So, but yeah, so they opened up their store, and I mean, pretty much like the store was actually pretty successful. Like, turned out like he was actually decent at this, and
I hate that so much that he was successful.
I hate
that
he was successful. Yeah. I just like
did he end up having like 4 stores or something?
He had 2. Okay. I believe that, yeah, because they did so well. Like, yeah, I guess the store earned like $50,000 like in profits the first year it was open.
Well, you had to and have then, the, and then some money opened. To get that the house, you know, that he eventually gets.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Yeah, no, the house is awesome. But that's actually right where we're at. It was 1991, and they moved into Fox Hollow Farm, which is a pretty sweet fucking house, honestly. Yeah. I believe it's on 18 acres and basically like 4 bedrooms, indoor swimming pool, which was key. We'll get back to that later. But, and basically they had like a riding stable for horses and
a whole guest house.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like a whole
or
guest.
A whole, like apartment. Above they
had
the like, garage.
A, yeah, they had was like an another apartment above the garage too, basically. So like, yeah, it's pretty sweet, but this is one of those classic things. It's like, you know, you look at it from the outside, it's like, oh, the fucking American dream, like business owner, like he's got the sweet house, married, you know, he's got 3 kids, and yeah, behind the scenes is just wasn't great. Apparently, I guess from what my understanding is basically like Julie wouldn't disagree with Herb. Or anything like that. She was just very submissive and all that, which is, I mean, I guess it's kind of typical of that decade. And also being like Republicans and, you know, all that, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like that was just kind of typical, but like, yeah, she was just, you know, see nothing, hear nothing, say nothing.
But I feel like there's a difference between being submissive and being completely like ignorant of
ignorance, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't even care enough to like,
but really, I mean, I guess we'll get to that later. But
well, yeah, but I mean, it is definitely getting into the area of like straight up denial.
Yeah.
You're realizing like, okay, and I mean, like we were talking about earlier, 25 years, 6 times. How, like, I don't understand. Well, you know what? Actually, no, because I was going to say, I don't understand how you don't make a bigger deal of it. But I guess eventually Julie did talk to Herb's father about basically how things were going, you know, in not so many words.
Yeah.
And that's when I don't recall what the actual diagnosis was again, but that's when they had him go back in for more psych evals and where it got into the, what were you talking about earlier with the, not bipolar, but.
It was something I forget what it was. It was some sort of personality disorder.
Okay. Like borderline. Was that it?
I kept wanting to say split, but they did. That's not the words that they used. Wasn't that.
I'm pretty sure they would call it like dissociative identity disorder at this point too. So.
Yeah, I can't remember what they, but it was a second diagnosis.
Mm.
But I don't know. I can't find it.
It's okay. It's okay. But I mean,
some kind of personality disorder.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it was the same thing as before where they're like, okay, yeah, he has this. And then nothing was done after that. You know? Yeah.
Like that was it. End of story.
But I don't know. Like, I just don't know.
Well, and another thing you think of is, and this is something, like I said, we'll kind of see later on, because we say that she was submissive and in denial, but you never know if low key she was scared, you know, maybe, you know, you could be scared of your own husband if you think, you know, if you have any inkling that he might be serial killer, you know. That's, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah. Or she doesn't want to, you know.
Or she just doesn't want to think that her life is this, you know.
Yeah.
She just.
Yeah.
Because then she, you know.
Then she has to admit that
her perfect little family goes to hell.
Mm-hmm. Well, she also has to admit, like, oh, I made a stupid decision here. And then you have to admit that as well.
Yeah. You have to admit that you wasted 25 years of your life.
Ouch.
I know, right? Yeah.
Your husband is nothing. Like you think.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as her ignoring things, like basically what we mean is, well, what was it? It was in 1994 when this happened. Their son, Eric, was playing in the backyard and he basically found a half buried, complete human skeleton. In the backyard.
Yeah.
Herb allegedly couldn't even have been bothered to just bury the whole fucking thing all the way. Like, he got halfway
done.
Yeah,
it was right in the tree line, yeah, right? It exactly. Wasn't even that far.
Yeah, like, it was just like, ah, fuck it. It's fine. Like, dude, come on. You're almost asking for it. But, so the son went and told Julie, son Eric. And apparently she asked Herb about it, and his response was it was one of his dad's dissecting skeletons that he'd had.
A medical skeleton.
As an anesthesiologist. Now, Amanda, you're in the medical field. Does that sound any type of correct to you at all?
Absolutely not. First of all, I mean, when you're in med school, you might deal with cadavers. Why?
Yes.
But this guy is already out of med school. He's an anesthesiologist, so he's not in school. And also, why is it in your backyard?
Yeah, like, why does Herb have it? did she ever know that he had it before? Like, did he just have it set up in his garage?
Yes, where was it before you moved into this big house?
My guess is he never actually had a medical skeleton. But, like, wouldn't she know that? I mean, you know,
I would think, and I mean, at the same time,
if you just want to get rid of it, like, donate it back to the school or something. Like, you know how shady it looks burying a fucking skeleton?
Yeah, like, was it homework? Like, what the fuck? Why did he take it from where he was doing whatever, if he was even doing shit, which he wasn't.
But, if that was the story.
If that was the actual true story, which it's not, but...
Allegedly.
Thank you.
So
there was, you know, it must have been there a while though for it to be completely decomposed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it might have been one of the early ones, but I don't know. It just, it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, Julie just straight up was like,
and so no one reported it. It was just kind of okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense.
That makes sense. Sure. Yeah. You fucking idiot. Oh my God. But yeah. So basically after that, and we'll start getting into Virgil Vandergriff here.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Virgil Vandergriff was a private investigator. And basically he lived in the area, you know, in the downtown, like he's from around that area, if I remember correctly. And he was also former law enforcement as well. So, but decided to step away and just do private investigation. So, basically, I guess in the early June of 1994, there was a 28-year-old named Alan Broussard. who went missing around the, you know, from around the gay scene in that town, in the, you know, in the area. And I mean, this is something that happens so much back then, basically. He pretty much at first just kind of brushed it off, just being like, ah, he's a runaway, like, that's what they do.
I think that's what was with a lot of the, you know, them initially, you know, oh, yeah. They kind of didn't think they thought that, okay, well, yeah, you know, maybe this was guy was an outcast, you know, maybe he just ran away.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what they thought with a bunch of them at first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The cops, like, especially back then, would be just, like, weirded out.
Well, by, yeah.
Like, gays, it's like, ooh, you know, and they'd be like, but, oh, I don't want
to. I'm going
to
catch
it. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm gonna catch it. Or something.
It's contagious. Yeah, I know. No, I can't talk
to you. Like, a lot of those crimes, you know, just weren't even followed through, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it was always
like,
just.
Look what they did with Jeffrey Dahmer, like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, when that one kid escaped his apartment, and they bleeding, like, drilled a hole in his head.
And they brought him back.
And the cops were like, okay, yeah, just go back with him and do whatever you're doing.
As soon as they heard, like, oh, that's my boyfriend, ew. Like,
yeah. Okay, yeah, just take him back. Just do it inside. Do it inside. Get out of the street.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Shitty cops.
Yeah, the cops suck. They got fired, but I heard they got rehired, like, later on. But at the time, they had to fire those two.
Yeah.
just because. But, so anyway, you know, like I said, Alan Broussard goes missing. And apparently he was last seen leaving a gay bar called Brothers. That's kind of cute for a gay bar name. Yeah.
I'm surprised that reading how many gay bars there were in the, what is it, Indianapolis?
Yes. Yeah.
They said there was like at least 10 of them that he would cruise around.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it's surprising.
It does seem like a lot for back then. I don't know.
It kind of does. But I mean, you got to think like say, at the same time, like city, you know, I mean, Milwaukee. Milwaukee had a bunch of gay bars.
Yeah, that's
like,
all true.
That was what? The same. We're not talking about so long. I mean, we're talking about the 90s now.
Yeah. Yeah, we are in the 90s now. Exactly. So, yeah, it makes more sense. If this was, like, still the 70s, like, I'd be like, no fucking way.
Right.
Like,
right.
New York or LA, like, that's it. Those are your choices. Like, yeah. That's it. Maybe Boston a little bit, kind of starting up a little bit, but you still got those guys that you got to deal with. But yeah, so I guess basically afterwards, you know, I mean, Virgil still did something, you know, he basically put up, you know, missing persons posters around like and around that bar. And
at this point, was he just doing this on his own or did people come up to like?
Well, basically, Ellen Broussard's mother.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
she
right.
Approached him and hired him and wanted him to look for her son. But basically he said that he kind of like it basically he started kind of looking out for similar scenarios. Mm-hmm. Basically like same kind of guy disappearing, gay, you know, that kind of thing. And after he kind of started picking up, I think there was like two or three other ones within a really tight timeline of each other. He basically got to the point where he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that we have a serial killer.
Well, and I think they were all like around the same age, appearance wise.
Yeah, they're
like,
all the same type.
Like there was a type.
Lil Herb had a type, yeah. Allegedly. So allegedly, he had a type. But and going into here, yeah. Okay, here's the other one. Yeah, there's Roger Allen Goodlett was. 34-year-old who went missing, and this was the one of the ones that basically like where he's it just clicked for him, and he realized that yes, we have a serial killer on his hands. Apparently, he just left his mother's house, went to visit a gay bar, and then was never seen again.
Mm-hmm.
Like just vanished off the face of the earth. So basically, he got that going and everything and started to realize, like, okay, we definitely have a serial killer going. So eventually, he got into contact with Tony Harris, which is not this guy's real name, but just the one he gave him because he wanted to
just withhold his real name. He's basically an informant for him. So he said that he had known Roger Goodlatte, you know, from the scene and everything like that. And basically, I guess he was out one night and he saw somebody sitting there drinking at the bar, just basically just staring at the poster, like just not even blinking, no nothing.
And you know what? That like gives me the creeps when I read about that.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, if you know, if you're looking at that, because, and I think he, at this point, didn't he, like, he was like, I didn't know this guy, but I've seen him at another bar before. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he was,
yeah.
And he said just the way that he was just scrutinizing the missing poster.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, he just knew that he was probably the one that killed him. Like, yeah. I can't even imagine what that face would have looked like. I mean, just like how he was looking at
it's
it.
Very creepy.
He was basically like, he saw him looking at it. And I guess in his head, like, he just said like, okay, this is the guy that, cause he was friends with Roger. Like, mm-hmm. him and Roger were friends, so.
And he wanted answers. He wanted.
He's just like, this is the guy that killed Roger. Like, I'm convinced. Like, this is weird. It's just, he said that he saw something in his eyes. So.
Well, I mean, clearly.
Yes. Yeah. That clearly he was right.
Yeah.
So, basically trying to go for answers, he introduced himself to him. And the man introduced himself as Brian Smart. Which, I don't know, I'm sorry, that's like, that's not the best fake name I've ever heard in my life.
Nah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's not great. It's definitely not
great. I was trying to think if there was like some hints in it, like, if you mix up the letters or, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm trying to think too deep.
Brain smart.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to go
brain
smart.
I'm looking way too into it, thinking it's.
He's like, wait a minute, nobody's name is Brain. Like, okay. All right, yeah, Brian. Yeah, no. Lil Herb was a dipshit. So
dyslexic, too.
No, I before E. Like, okay, all right.
I before A, unless you are gay.
Yeah, that's... Jesus Christ. Okay. All right. So like I said, he introduced himself, man, introduced himself as Brian Smart. So I guess he tried to kind of like beat around the bush a little bit about Roger, but he was kind of just deflecting a little bit. So he's like, okay. So instead, he basically just kind of kept going with it. And eventually, Brian, who was allegedly Herb, allegedly, but eventually ended up, he basically explained, like, said he was a landscaper from Ohio and basically staying at a, just kind of a random house that he was preparing for people that were going to be moving in. So I guess he said he was hired for the job to do the landscaping there. And in the meantime, he was able to stay there, which is kind of weird. Doesn't really make sense.
I've never heard that, but maybe.
In the 90s, like I've never hired somebody to cut my grass and then be like, all right, you can live with me for a little bit. Like, you know? Well, I guess like, okay, you live in the house that I just bought for some reason. Cause like, yeah, you're fine. But of course, you know, at the same time, like when you're fishing, you got to have some bait. And this house had a indoor pool,
mm-hmm.
and a wet bar. So, I mean, like that's, you know, that's, I mean, look, if.
Hey, come on back to my house. I got
yeah,
pool.
It's like going to a party. Like, mm-hmm. like if it was with a group, you know, and they're like, I mean, obviously I'm not, you know, going one-on-one with a dude, obviously, but, like that's meat on a hook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And meat's kind of a weird way to put it. You know what I mean? But yeah, like that's a very enticing thing. It's like you hear that and you're like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Like hell yeah, I want to come back and like have a drink and like.
Especially if you're at the time, if you're having a good time, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, at the same time, he's still trying to like get information from him and stuff like that. So he's basically working undercover, pretty much. But. So anyway, I guess they got into his car and they drove to the house.
And they were just kind of hanging out, and you know, I kind of showed them around a little bit, and eventually got down to the basement, and yeah, you know, like we said before, it had you know, it had the pool, had the wet bar, just sweet, but it had something else.
What else did it have, Kevin?
What else did it have?
apparently, there were a bunch of mannequins just staged yeah. in various poses around the room. And I mean, did you guys actually get a chance to see any of the photos from when they were searching the house?
I think I did see a couple flashes on the screen.
It's fucking weird. There's like a mannequin, like just kind of chilling by the bar. Like, I think he had like a bartender mannequin too. And it's just, it's weird.
That is unsettling. But so creepy.
Apparently, when it was, of course, Tony was like, "Hey man, what's up with the fucking mannequins?" Like, apparently Brian's response, who's Herb, was, "I get lonely down here. They keep me company."
I am waving my red flag so hard right now.
Yeah. I was going to say, what shade of red does the flag need to be? Like, that's my question. Like, okay. Like, I mean, I'm going to make a plea. I'm honestly right now. And if we have anybody who's gay, who ever listens to this, look, I know you guys like to have fun and it's awesome. And it's fantastic. But if you ever go to somewhere where somebody gets you back to their house and they got a bunch of fucking mannequins just hanging out, and then they tell you that they're lonely and that the mannequins are their friends and keep them company, get the fuck. I don't care. I don't care how much Molly they have. I'm sorry. Just get the fuck run. Out of there.
Grab
just
the run. Molly and run.
Yes,
gay
exactly.
or straight.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like.
I know.
Anyone.
If you get there, just back away.
All right, yes. If you're going to hook up with somebody and there's a bunch of mannequins, yes, run away.
I keep a mannequin in the kitchen at my work.
I mean, that's fine. That's at work.
That is a true story, though.
Yes. Yeah, that is true.
I was going to say, I actually believe you. So, but at the same time, when I come over, it's not chilling on the couch.
No.
So.
In a weird position.
Yes, in a weird position. I'm going to do that. Next time you guys come over, I'm going to get a mannequin and just have him, like, chilling over there or something like that.
And I'm just going to pull a red flag just somewhere out of my coat and just start waving it.
Just going to throw it at me like it's Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Like, no, challenge. Challenge.
Red flag. Challenge. Put my back 10 yards. This is fucked up.
Challenge. I think he's a serial killer. Let's view the replay.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah, let's just say, all right. So eventually they start doing gay stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't know the best way to do each other.
Before that, I think the informant was just like swimming in the pool
they're just like swimming around naked, you know, and stuff like that. And just basically, I guess, he tried to offer him a drink, which I'm sure this is probably part of it. This is probably part of his thing. He probably roofies him just to make it easier. Cause I mean, we saw Herb. He's a little bitch. Like, yeah. You know, he's not overpowering a lot of people, allegedly. So, but yeah, so he didn't take the drink, but yeah, they're swimming around naked and stuff like that. And it's just basically all of a sudden he starts telling him about how awesome autoerotic asphyxiation is. So, Kyle, could you tell us all what autoerotic asphyxiation is?
Okay.
I just butchered that so bad, but
that's where you get choked when you get a boner.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of right. Yeah. I don't think it causes the boner.
I think it does.
I don't think it does. I think you have to have the boner first and then you do the choke. And you're supposed to like basically time it up with when you're going to finish.
Oh,
and it's supposed to make it like, I mean, I guess this is medically true. People don't do this. Guys, don't do this. Chicks, I don't know if it works for you. I don't know. Do you have any idea in your research?
I don't know.
Okay. Do chicks do that
our
too?
Because medical sounds, expert, Amanda.
Sorry. I mean, like, this sounds like a strictly a guy, like something that a guy would do.
I will say
and
that
not
I,
so much a woman.
I mean, I've not done my research on this. Okay. But I will tell you that, I mean, I'm probably a very ignorant person. This world is effed up, but I've never known, in my experience, I don't know anybody that does that.
Okay, if you're a lady that does that somehow, leave a comment.
Don't comment.
Just jump.
All right, just leave us a like if you do.
For the men, let us know if the choking gives you a boner. Or if you need the boner already.
We just told them not to try it at
home. But don't try it.
Don't yet. Please don't. Please don't. For the record, Lopotomized Show does not advocate any autoerotic asphyxiation. I'm just getting that out of the way right now. Thank you very much. But
wasn't he using the pool, like, tubes to, like, choke each
was
other?
Was it the hose? Or the was hoses it the hose? And, or?
Like the fun noodles?
No.
The
pool
noodles? I'm just imagining him, like, trying to choke him with, like, a fucking noodle now.
Right. Well, they were, looking at these tubes. I've checked out that Ghost Adventures thing, too, and they were like, oh, these must have been the hoses
were they choking
that
they and choking
each other with. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But even those hoses were fucking, like, big.
Yeah, know? Probably not. That was probably Zach just being a dipshit.
Yeah, most likely.
Which he does. Which he does a lot,
he
unfortunately.
Can do that.
So the thing that, like, was really, and who knows if he ever really, you know, said this, but this was per the informant. Mm-hmm. And I guess her or Brian was saying, you know, it feels, or he said, let's see, Herb said that he learned a neat trick that if you choke someone while having sex, it feels really great and gives you a great rush. You should see what someone looks like. When you're doing it to them, their lips change color. That's how you can tell it's working.
Yeah, I saw that too. It's like, no, that means they're dead then.
Yeah, they're
that,
dying.
That means they're dying and you murder them.
Yeah, and at that point, that's when that's when the informant knew. He was like, oh yeah, he killed Roger. Mm-hmm. And I guess that Herbert said, hey, well, why don't you do it to me? So he had him like, you know. But like even just like having that description, just like, oh, when his lips change color, you know you're doing it right. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Dude.
It's like, no, you're not.
Cutting off the oxygen to his brain, and he's about to die.
It's supposed to just be like really quick. And then like, you got to time it right. You know, like it's got to be right at the same time, apparently. And it's like, I don't know. Apparently this is medically true. It's like it's supposed to be like 100 times more intense or whatever the fuck. But nope.
Nah.
Yeah,
that dude from fucking Kung Fu, I think he fucking died doing that. Well, what's his nuts? Yeah.
David Carradine?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Kill Bill.
Yeah, Bill. Yeah, he died from doing that. Like, I don't know. And just
allegedly.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to watch what the fuck we're saying here. But yes, so. So they, you know, he did him first and then did the other one. And basically, I suppose what the informant was saying was when he was supposed to let go, he didn't. And he just kept going. And so he faked passing out. So he let go and then came back up. And then, of course, Herb was all like, oh, God, I was so scared and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, just all this fucking bullshit because he realized he fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't kill him. And eventually, so they finished all their, you know, their things, you know. I don't know what to call it. Like, that's weird. I mean, it's not weird. It's just like, I have no perspective. You know what I mean?
So
like,
they finished?
Yeah, they finished their things. Yeah, they finished their things.
I would have, you know, just got the hell out of there.
Well, apparently that's what he tried to do at that point. Because, I mean, like you were saying, like, he basically is like, okay, I know this is the guy. Like, time to fucking bail. Mm-hmm. So I finished doing what I was supposed to do without raising the red flags, and now it's time to leave. But
he actually called him out on that. He said, hold on a second. Because he shook him, you know, Brian was shaking him because he passed out, in quotes. And it said the informant opened his eyes and Herb said, you know, you scared me. People can die like that. There have been accidents. And the informant said, Was Roger one of your accidents? And were there others? And Herb never said anything, but he just grinned.
God, I don't remember that.
Well, you know, whatever. You never know what you see on the internet. It could be wrong, but that's what I saw in the documentary that I had, you know.
I mean, I could see that.
That he just, you know, he just kind of didn't say anything. And then I think he fell asleep after. I think he like passed out after that, didn't he?
Stuff, they're pretty loaded.
They're pretty fucked up. I mean, they're definitely not sober fucking doing this. And I mean, I could see that too. Like, I mean, I've heard cases of other serial killers before where they can't do it sober. Like, they have to be fucked up. Like, Dahmer was like one of them. Like, Dahmer had to be fucked up. Like, and he was fucking shithouse like 24/7 pretty much. Right. So.
Because even that guy, like, because what I was listening to, I think that Herb had like fallen asleep and that guy, he actually went around because he wanted to know what his real name was.
Yes.
Because he was like, that's right. It's not freaking Brian Smart.
Yeah, there's no way.
So he went upstairs and I guess, you know, the furniture was kind of disheveled, like unkempt and stuff. And I think whatever it was, like I don't know if he found the wallet or trying to find the wallet. Either way, he had woken back up.
Yeah,
so he didn't have the time.
He had like just started pulling his wallet out, I guess. And that's when he woke up and then he's like, hey, what are you like robbing me or some shit? You know, he's like, no, I was whatever the fuck, you know,
I didn't know if he like, I didn't know if Herb had actually seen him going through. I wasn't sure.
I don't know if he saw the wallet, but he saw him like going through his pants. And it's just like, hey, like, what, are you robbing me or something like that? And he's like, no, like, I thought these were mine or something like that. You know, just made up some bullshit.
Bombed.
Yeah, exactly.
What I can't believe is that after all of that, he freaking drove him back home. Or he drove him, like, Herb drove him back.
Yeah, he drove him back into the city. Like,
That guy was so lucky.
So he didn't know his real name, so I guess.
But he wanted to get back together with him like the following week or something.
That was the thing.
Because the job.
Well, that was part of the plan too. That he was with that was his name, Virgil. Yeah, with Virgil. Yeah, that was part of the thing. So because he was like, okay, try to meet up with him again, you know, and you know, then I guess what the plan was is he was going to try to get I fucked that up. Maybe I'll cut this, but we'll see. But I guess he told him afterwards, and then I can't remember. Did he immediately try to make the other plans to get back in touch with him again?
So at the time of the first night
or something like that. I can't remember.
I think he saw him later. I might be wrong about that, but
yeah,
might have seen him at the bar again or
who?
Yeah, maybe.
What's his name? The guy who got away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Okay.
I just saw that Herb wanted to meet up again with the informant, and then I guess that's, you know, the PI was aware of that, the private investigator. Okay. What's his name?
That makes sense. Yeah,
and so
Virgil.
Then
that
he wanted sense. To post up like yes. that. Like, oh,
he found out that Herb wanted to get together with him again. And then,
and so he let him know. So he wanted to post up, but then Herb
he stood him up.
He stood him up. Yeah.
Basically. Yes. Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. But, so he never showed up. So they never got there. So basically,
and I think it's important to note that, like, where he drove, like, he couldn't remember. He was trying to remember. He's like, I don't know where we were, you know, in the house, like, the description, you know, there's so many houses like that over there.
He was having a really hard time, like, actually trying to, because, I mean, like, you got to figure, like, he was probably not sober either.
Well, absolutely. To begin with, they came from the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They came from the bar, and like you just go through. Like it's hard to get a bead on it.
40 minutes away from the city, right?
Yeah, it was far. So it was
he didn't know the area. He just knew it was the rich part of town.
And basically, the only thing he knew was like it was something like farms or something.
He like barely saw like some of the sign, and he saw that Yeah, it was something farms.
Yeah, so. But other than that, I think he was able to like deduce that where he kind of where he was.
Yeah, like he knew like the general area, but he didn't know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But okay, so pretty much after that, Virgil Vandergriff got Mary Wilson involved. Mary Wilson was a police officer who was still on the force, and basically he brought her like, okay, we've got all these missing guys that have the same MO, like all this stuff. And her, as opposed to, you know, most of the cops around that time, actually gave a shit and decided that she wanted to move forward and tried to figure out exactly what the hell was going on. So they started working together, and basically her big thing was they were trying to find the car they was using. She basically was just said, like, if you can get me the license plate, then we're good. And we'll take it from here. She's like, yeah, get me the license plate of the car and we'll take it from here.
They knew it was like a, what was it, like a light blue car with Ohio plates or something? Yes. Like it was something like that. They had that kind of description. Yeah, it was a light
blue car, but they didn't have the specifics because, you know, couldn't remember. But so eventually they, you know, they're just kind of working the case, just like basically going around and hanging out in that area, just staking it out, just pretty much more or less waiting for Brian to show back up. And I guess eventually he did. And when from what I remember, like hearing and like reading about, it's like that, basically like the informant guy, like pretty much like when he saw him was like, yeah, that's the fucking guy that killed Roger, blah blah blah, and like so kind of like made a scene and everything like that. And like, yeah, like, so Herb was like, ah, fuck. And like, I'm just gonna fucking roll out. But they did find his license plate. And I guess it actually has his license plate here. It's 75237A. And looking at it, it just said like, that did not belong to Brian Smart. And that's when they found out it was Herb Baumeister's.
Okay. Plate. So also, I wanna say, if you were at one point the manager of the BMV, like, wouldn't you know that, oh, if I drive this guy back home, like, this guy already kind of, like, at least from the documentary that I watched, he said, oh, did you, like, you know what I mean? Like, he kind of called him out a little bit. And you know just, what?
That
like,
is a very good point.
Why would you, I mean, not to say, like, you saved his life, but you are so dumb. Because you think that he can't, like, what if he walked out there and memorized your plate, dude? Like, yeah. The manager of BMV, you should know that that would completely give you away. Mm-hmm. You would think.
You would think, but apparently, apparently Herb's a fucking idiot. So, a big fucking drunk dumbass. Yeah, exactly. But
maybe he actually had the hots for that guy. You know,
he probably
kept him around for a little bit longer.
He probably did. He's like, I didn't want to kill him. I want to fuck him alive like one more time.
And then, like, was that Mark Goodyear?
Who?
Because Mark Goodyear, I have written down, was the one who found his plate.
Oh, okay.
And went to the cop with it.
I don't know who that is.
Mark Goodyear. Sorry, let me hear. No, from what the information I have here is that it was Tony Harris.
Okay. It could be.
And Tony Harris is the informant.
Is the informant, okay. Yes.
I see.
And he ran into him again and then saw him and then got the license plate and then got it to Mary. So I guess Mary and her boss, who was Lieutenant Thomas Green, they kind of kept an eye on him for a little bit, kind of surveyed him. But I guess on November 1st, they actually went and approached him and just pretty much just told him straight up. It's like, hey, we think you're responsible for a bunch of these murders. Like, how about you let us come search your property a little bit? Which, okay, I know allegedly he did it, but always say no. Okay. Dude, don't ever just let the cops search your property. Just don't do it. It's a terrible idea. Don't ever do that. Just the pro tip. Tell them to go get a fucking warrant like they fucking need to.
But if you're a serial killer, allow them to.
Then let the cops search your house. Yes.
At least bury the bodies all the way.
Yes, exactly.
Well, maybe it was there for so long that it just like eroded over. You know
I
what
don't
I mean?
Know
like,
if there's been, that been, much erosion.
Like, I don't know. You don't know.
An animal might have tried to.
True. You know what?
Well.
That's
more likely. Well, then he still did a shitty job of fucking burying it.
They said there was all the bodies and like he'd be, you know, still chugging beers while like half-ass digging graves and like shallow grave and these bodies instead.
Like, well, no, he's probably like, I'm on 18 acres.
Yeah,
Who's gonna think I'm, you know, this meek guy, you know,
just gonna think I'm a serial simple thrift store owner
with three kids, a wife,
and apparently Herb's poker face is terrible because when they're questioning him about it, he's just nervous as shit and basically just shitting bricks.
Yeah,
so
pissing himself.
He was pissing himself, which you know,
not for fun.
Not for fun. Like this is like this is a legit reaction.
He probably got a little bit of fun out of it.
He probably did. He's like
a little bit.
He probably walked away from the cops like it wasn't so bad. So, could have been worse.
A comfort.
Yeah, could have been worse. But
in the back of the cop car, he pisses all over the cop's controls.
Ruins their fucking radio.
That's how he gets away. No.
Oh, no, we lost the sprinkler. God damn it. But yeah, so like I said, you know, they approached Herb first. And of course, you know, this is always standard. They ended up approaching Julie as well and trying to ask her for permission to search the property. And of course she was just no, like, you know,
she knew,
willfully ignorant, I believe, of
and she knew
everything that was going
on at this
point. Yes, exactly. She already knew about it. So, but eventually things between her and Herb were not good, obviously.
Well,
six times in 25 years.
I know, but weren't at this point, were the Save-A-Lot stores already going down?
Yeah, they were starting to go down at this point, too. And
I didn't know in the timeline where that was.
Yeah, it was basically around this time because like everything's starting to unravel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like now he's the cops talking to him, and this had never happened before, and he's starting to get nervous, obviously. And that's just crossing over into literally everything else. Like, I guess he was like horrible to fucking work for. Like, I saw like an interview on
YouTube. That's what I heard.
Like drinking, like on the job.
Oh yeah.
Stuff.
Like he would just go like
trying to get the young guys to have a beer with them and stuff.
Yeah. Like
just lose it.
Yeah. Just fucking lose it. Like literally just
like
going off
Henry Hill at the end of Goodfellas.
Yeah, exactly. Just going nuts. He's looking up for fucking helicopters and shit. Yeah.
And they were literally flying over his house too.
Oh yeah. But eventually Julie decided that enough was enough. And she allowed Mary Wilson and her team to basically check out the farm while Herb was gone. Because I believe Herb was actually gone on a trip with Eric at the time. They were on some kind of trip together. So she allowed them to come and check it out. So, yeah. So now, basically get into what they found. So, you know, I feel like I have been talking a lot. So, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass you this. And okay. Just go ahead and just kind of go through some of that at the bottom where it says the Fox Hollow Farm killings. Sorry, my throat's getting a little bit dry. And when you get down there, just go ahead and flip it over. But yeah, just kind of take us through like who they actually were able to identify and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so when the investigators got there on June 24th, 1996. They found bone fragments from at least 11 people buried in the woods there on his property. They, another search recently, just last year, December 22, they found another. They're still finding bones on his property.
Oh my God.
Of people, at least 11. But, I mean, one of the accounts I read from the witness, Mark Goodyear, says he insinuated 50 or to 60 kills possible, but no one really knows that for sure.
They're probably basing that on just the missing persons and who fits the age and...
Yeah.
There is a lot of that, I feel like.
And there is...
But it might be true.
What we'll get to at some point, but the I-70 Strangler, where they're kind of, you know, blanket or umbrella all these murders in with him. I do find that to be weird, though, that is, once Herb got the Fox Hollow property, they stopped finding bodies along the highway, you know, just around that same time. That is kind of odd.
The timing is odd, and it looks bad for him, honestly, but...
So can we describe what the... Was it the I? Do you say it's the I-70?
I-70, yeah.
Strangler?
Yeah. It's a series of, I believe, 8 murders. Is that correct?
Over a dozen.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay. I was a little bit off, but basically just a bunch of unsolved murders that they never...
At least 12 boys and men between 1980 and 1991.
Yeah, that was the thing that was like a little bit different about this, though, is it was kids. There was kids involved in this, too.
Mm.
Like with... I've got one here. It's like there was an 8th grader that was killed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that was... I don't know. That's like another thing that kind of...
And this was near like the same, like right near like where he was.
He could have done it. Yes, he could have done it. It was in that stretch. Yeah. Between like Ohio, Indiana, you know.
So these murders did not occur after he got, you know, after they started questioning Herb?
No, these were before. So like he... Theoretically, yes, he had the opportunity to do it because he was also traveling that route like a whole bunch, doing things for the thrift shop, like basically going and picking up, you know, stock and different things like that, checking out different auctions and, you know, all kinds of things.
And were all these bodies were found off the highway?
Basically, yeah. So that's why they called it that. So. Yeah.
And they were all strangled to death, too.
Yes. But at the same time, like, you can't 100% be sure that all those were done by the same person as well. Like, that could have been, you know, it could have been somebody with a lower body count and then a couple of extras. It could have been something, you know, completely different. The thing is with Herb, like, pretty much as far as I know, all the ones at Fox Hollow Farm were from bars. Like, they're all adults, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I don't really see it as him just mixing in, you know, some kids at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, usually, like, they have a type, and that's it. And that's what they stick to, you know?
Well, even, like, the 15-year-old, you know, he was known for going around gay bars and stuff and doing favors and stuff for money.
Yeah,
I think all of them, you know, were, like, definitely... Even the minors, you know.
Yeah.
Not the best childhoods.
Yeah. Maybe a little troubled childhoods.
Troubled youth, for sure.
I mean, yeah, like, that shit was going on in, I mean, to go back to Dahmer, like, this going on in Milwaukee, too, which is weird to think about, but.
Right. Know. But, you know, like, you know, especially, I mean, the parents back then might, you know, find out their son's gay and kick him out of the house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then the only place he really needs... or knows where to go is really like around other gay guys.
Yeah. Or, like, other people who are like that, like, understand him, accept him.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But I mean, like, yeah, cause that's like another thing too. Like, there wasn't a lot of direct evidence that was like really connect. Like, I mean, like DNA and shit like that.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing like that.
Besides like the bones, it's also just, on the property as well.
Just really predominant.
Yes.
So what had happened after? So they find all of this stuff on the property. So is that the point where is what's his face? Is he still out of town at this point? Or is this like over?
I mean, like they had the initial search, basically.
The initial search, they found 11
they found
bones from like 11 different people. Was that all in from the initial search?
Yes.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so yeah, they just went and did their thing while he was gone. And at some point,
and that's the thing is I don't remember why they did it like this, but at one point when they start finding the stuff, I guess Julie kind of freaked out because she was like, oh, okay, the kid's with him, you know, and then they sense whoever, like some law enforcement agency, to just take the kid and like get the kid back. But they fucking just let Herb go.
Yeah, that does not make any sense to me. Like, arrest this motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like, just take him into custody. I mean, like, I guess maybe they were kind of worried that he would try to do something for to the kid or whatever. Yeah. But I don't recall. I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't just do that. But basically, they got the kid, and apparently Herb just gave the kid up too. I mean, he knew that things weren't going great with Julie, so he just basically, like, because he had no idea that any of that shit was going on back at his house. Yeah. You know, that she finally gave him up. Yeah, exactly. That would have been a fight, but. But yeah, he just kind of gave the kid there. He's like, okay, I guess this is it. We're doing this now, and just kind of did that.
Did Herb ever go back to the house, or from there, from where he was, did he just flee?
I don't believe so. Yeah, basically, like he found out what was going on. And basically, he got in touch with his brother, Brad, I guess at some point, borrowed some money, and then basically just headed up north. And I guess at that point, like, the police were also in touch, got in touch with him and found out everything like that. And after that, he left where his brother was and drove up to Canada. And was able to cross the border because it was the early 90s and it was a lot easier back then. But yeah, he drove up there and at a spot called Pinery Park. Basically, it was on the evening of July 3rd. That's kind of a shitty way to celebrate America's birthday, but whatever. Herb.
He was in Canada.
Yeah, he was in Canada, which is weird. But he was an American.
He
basically went up to Canada. Well, all right. He went up to Canada to, you know, make a mess on the eve of July 4th. Soil. Yeah, so, you know, America. Fucking America. So
I said earlier, but you kind of refuted that, but I was like, he was already in a different country. Like, you know. Why wouldn't he just, you know, blend in?
Yeah.
But I'm sure they could have tracked him down and got him shipped out of there and charged. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, it was on that night. He basically, like I said, he went to Pinery Park. He ate a fucking peanut butter sandwich, which I guess was his favorite. Like, I know, dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's like the most boring white man ever. Like, if you take out all the, like, you know, like the murder stuff, like if you get rid of all that, like, he's literally the most boring person ever.
Just bland.
Yeah, dude. Like,
murder aside, you're boring, well,
like
dude. I said, man.
If you take out like all the, you know, just all the murder, like, he's just.
His last meal was a peanut butter sandwich. Was there even jelly on it? It was just a peanut butter?
No, peanut butter. Just peanut butter.
I don't know why that really pisses me off. It does.
Was it the fact that he didn't have any milk with it, or?
I don't know. He could have had anything.
Yeah, that's true.
He could have went out to dinner. I mean, come on. Have an
You
could have. Something.
Go get some poutine or something.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so he ate a sandwich and left a note basically saying, I guess it's kind of fun. I guess in the note, he apologized for the mess he was about to make to the park. Oh, but he had, but
how Canadian of him.
I know, right? It's weird. It was weird. He was, it's like he was trying to assimilate that last night, you know, just really trying. But in his suicide letter, he actually made no mention of any of the bones that were found on his property. No mention.
You know what, Dad?
The burgers or anything.
I would not expect anything less. Anything. For somebody that's like that, you know, you're going to go out, you know, a hero. Not a hero, but you know what I mean? Just kind of like a, as the, you are trying so hard to believe that you're the good guy that you, he probably believes he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you lie to yourself that much.
Well, it's like with the goddamn raccoon thing, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about that in
Oh, yeah.
There was a roadkill one time, and he watched the truck was repainting the lines on the road. And instead of moving this roadkill raccoon over... You know, they painted over the body of the raccoon. For some reason, the news sought him out to give a like little interview.
Had nothing to do with like the murders, right? He was just a random.
He was just a random asshole on the news that was just like complaining about shit.
Bystander, yeah. And he's like saying, "Oh, I think the poor raccoon deserved better than that." It's like, you fucking asshole, dude.
It's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
You've got like a dozen bodies on your property.
It's like, so the irony there is just so like, he's talking about you deserve better while he's got, I mean, so many just dead bodies of humans just, you know.
Littered across his property.
Well, raccoons don't give me boners. So, yeah, I obviously deserve better. It's fine. One thing though that like I am really curious about, I don't know if you guys saw this too, but apparently after he had gone to up to Canada the night before, he put a 357 to his forehead and fucking, you know, just finished himself off. Apparently he was at a rest stop or something like that. Was it a rest stop? It's like a rest stop or something. And a Canadian police officer came up to him just to, you know, basically just to check on him and, you know, see. And he's just like, yeah, like I'm a tourist, whatever, you know, I'm just catching a nap. But apparently the cop reported seeing, he said he saw some luggage, but he also saw a bunch of videotapes in the car.
Really?
Oh yeah, yes. I did hear that.
And then those were never found.
And those were never found.
Oh my gosh! I bet, are they in Pinery Park somewhere?
I mean, maybe like basically like
or threw them in the
like Virgil said something. Virgil said something. He basically like said that's what he said. He's like, I bet he probably threw them in the lake and then shot himself. And then the last thing he said is, perhaps it's for the best.
The letter.
That the tapes are
gone. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he says, you know what?
Perhaps it's for the best that the tapes are gone.
Probably.
I don't know.
So basically, in his letter, he was just saying, you know, I'm killing myself because my wife's divorcing me and nothing about any criminal investigation.
Nothing about a bunch of bones being found in his backyard. Nothing at all.
But he found out at that point that.
Yes, he knew. He was in contact with his brother and the police got in contact with him. And it's like, hey, dude, there's a bunch of like bones at your house. Like, what's up with that?
Remember all the cadavers that dad had?
No. No, I don't.
Remember?
I don't remember any of those.
Okay. There was a lot of them. Okay.
Dad had like 10 skeletons of various sizes.
No. But yeah, that's like really, that's the fucking worst part about this fucking asshole and why we had to keep saying allegedly this whole fucking episode.
Such a coward, you know?
Exactly. Yes. He allegedly does all this shit and then just fucking takes the bitch way out. Once the heat's on, he crumbles like the pile of shit he is. Allegedly. Yeah.
Here's the thing. We can say allegedly all we want, but, you know, I think we get a point across.
How many bones do you have in your yard?
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm going to ask.
Unbeknownst to you.
Yes, that's all I'm going to ask. Like, yeah, because, I mean, obviously, if he didn't do anything, he didn't know about all the bones.
Right.
So, like I said, how many bones do you have at your house?
I just
like,
can't believe they're still digging up fucking bones on this property.
So who is living on this property now? That's who I want to know. Like, if they're just still digging up bodies, is this like a, this is like a, the land of, like, government land now? Or just like a, still like a crime scene?
Somebody lives there.
No, no, it was somebody has been living there for the past, like, 15 years.
Wow. And maybe it's just kind of like, hey, the backyard is still a crime scene type of thing.
Yeah,
like,
I would wonder.
Pretty much every,
like, you're not allowed in that portion because it's.
But honestly, if I lived in that house, I'd be like, go to town. Like, I want this guy
out of here, right?
Yeah. Like, every time, like, I guess, like, pretty much every time they find one, they send it into the fucking university. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, listening to a report earlier. Like, apparently the university has over 11,000 bone fragments from the property.
11,000? I was thinking 1,100. It was 11,000?
11,000 different bone fragments from that property.
Amanda, how many bones are in a human skeleton?
Well, thank you for asking me. I would love to tell you. I believe it's 206.
Nice. I was going to say 205. I was close. I'll take it.
Nice.
Yep.
But so that's a lot of bodies.
That's not full bones, though. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just fragments. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Now, one
but
thing,
I still feel like you could make a lot of people out of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
the one thing, and I didn't look this up. I should have, but whatever, was there follow up on Julie? Like, is she like, I mean, they find all these bodies on her. Did they ever, quote, like, rule her out?
Oh, like as an accomplice?
Yeah. Basically? I mean, you never, I mean, if she's, did they ever, like, did she ever get indicted on anything? Like, did she, or even just like a, you know, like an accomplice or helping? I mean, she, I don't know. I mean,
not
she always
a,
kind
as
of,
far as I know,
she always
as,
played I, ignorance.
Yeah,
but
right.
I mean,
as far as everything I looked into, I didn't find anything about them.
I didn't like think to look that up really until I started talking about it.
Honestly, that's a bad job on me.
It seems just like they, you know,
they just kind of let her go, I guess.
The property and just,
hey, you got a bunch of bodies on your property.
Yeah.
Bye.
It's like, man, what are these kids doing now? Like, they're probably around our age.
Probably.
You know, you think.
Well, yeah. No, they have to be older because, well, probably if he was born in 47.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
yeah, so they're a little
right?
Bit,
he was born 47, right? Or something
yes,
like that?
47, I believe.
So they're probably, you know, a little
probably
bit
older
than
40s.
Us. Yeah. Probably 10 years older than us.
10 years older than us, something like that. Yeah. They're a little bit older.
But
yeah.
Still, you do. You wonder, like,
have them as your dad.
Well, you know, you wonder just what their, yeah, what is their lives like now? Like, what are you, I don't know. Weird.
Yeah. What was it like having him as a fucking dad?
What was it like finding a body and then just your parents just completely poo-pooing it?
Yeah.
Right. What was it like waking up to your dad drunkenly pissing on your face?
Yeah. What was it like when you're in the bathroom in the morning and your dad asking you for a drink? Like, what was that like? Sounds awful.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, like, Julie says, I think she still defended him. You know, she.
Oh, that, like, fucking dumb bitch.
Right. Towards the end, it's like she said, like, you know, I know him better than anyone on the planet.
No.
I just don't think he could do this. But
no, you don't.
You don't even know what his dick looks like. For 25 years.
25 years, exactly. You can't even, like, you can't even describe his dick. Like, you can't. You can't do it.
Well, it's got kind of bumpy. there's
a shaft with some balls, a little bit of hair, maybe some, you know.
Smells briny.
Yeah. Smells like pickles.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I keep losing all the cucumbers in the house. I don't know where they keep going.
Oh, God.
But yes. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys have any final thoughts on this? Which we didn't even mention this. This is only going to be part one of the story. But any final thoughts on Herb, the man, I guess?
The Baumeister.
Lil Herb.
I just really, you know, it would be a better end of the story to see him get, you know,
get what he deserves.
Punished for his crimes, you know, and not just, you know, blowing his brains off all over some Canadian park.
Yeah, like a dick. That's a dick move.
It does make me wonder about the videotapes and, I'm, you know, like, what did he, like, set up the camera at the pool, probably?
I'm sure.
If he was trying to get rid of stuff or if he just, yeah, I don't know. It, you don't really want to think about it, but I do wonder.
I'm curious. That's the thing.
Sure, or what did he do, like, post-mortem?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, and he's, you know, he's got all these mannequins. You know, you just think your head goes to weird places. Because you could picture this basement and, you know, he said, you know, you saw how he liked to, you know, kill people, allegedly. And
there you go.
I'm trying.
I was going to say,
I'm really trying. It's real hard.
Allegedly on the videotapes.
Yeah, it just says allegedly on the tapes. I didn't fucking do it.
Oh my God.
That's fucking rock from the 90s.
Yeah.
Acting.
But yeah, I mean, like, honestly, like, I mean, like we were talking before, they're literally still identifying bodies. Like, they just, you know, just had that other one in October of 2023 that they just identified. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, yeah, honestly, so like, recent. Yeah, like crazy. The University of Indiana, basically what they need, and I'm saying, like, if anybody out there who listens to this has somebody that they know that disappeared around that time, you should really get in touch with the University of Indiana and try to do a DNA test, because that would help them out tremendously with the 11,000 bone fragments that they have.
Yeah.
And you might be able to finally get some closure. But that right there is the end of part one of the story.
But I also think that him killing himself, whereas I think that's like such a shitty end, you know, to, I mean, cowardly end. But I think that even further proves his guilt.
Right. He wasn't, you know, doing it because he was getting a divorce. That was, he was probably happy about that.
Or if I lived in a house and somebody's like, and I was innocent and I was completely innocent. And somebody's like, dude, they found like 11 bodies on your, in your yard. Yeah. I'd be like, are you kidding?
Like, I would, what the fuck? I need to get back there now. I'd be
like, you
dig
all of that up. And like, you know, like,
this shit is off my property.
Or I'd be like, I don't care. Check whatever you want of mine. Like, you're not going to find any, like, you know, if you were really innocent, I would be like, dude, dig up everything you can.
Like, head back and be like, what the fuck is this?
And I would support you. I would be like, do you want me to help you dig? Because like, I want whoever did this, like, I want people to get closure. I want, but instead you hear this and you just run to a different country and kill yourself. Okay, dude. Like,
yeah, I'm sure you were innocent. Yeah,
okay,
totally.
Dude, totally innocent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ah, man. But
so
yeah.
Can you give us a little, so what's part two going
to
be?
So part two is going to be the continuation of the Fox Hollow Farm story, because, well, as I'm sure most of us are aware,
this is a recipe for fucking haunting.
This is such this is like a jambalaya for a fucking haunting. Like, and basically, the people that live there now have reported some crazy shit happening at the property. So next time on the Potomized, we're going to get into that. So for now, I'd like to thank you for sticking around with us for so long. And on behalf of the show, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Take care.
Peace.
Cheers.
That went way better than I thought it was.